Chapter 13. The Haunted King. Brother Afafrenfir walked so lightly on the mud and meager snowpack that remained northeast of the Glimmerwood that he left no tracks. Nor did he make a whisper of sound, gliding like a shadow through the trees. He came upon a pair of orc sentries, simply walked right up to them. When they noticed him, it was already too late. Afafrenfir's right elbow went into the throat of one, turning its scream into a gurgle. Up swept his left hand at the same time, lifting the other orc's spear harmlessly high and wide. The monk turned fast, right palm sweeping out and up, catching the orc in the chin and nose and lifting its face to the sky. Afafrenfir stepped into that blow with his right foot, placing it between the orc's feet and putting his shoulder beside the orc's. Out went his right hand again, or still, since it was the same movement, not to hit the orc this time, but to flash past the beast's head. Now the monk turned again as he pulled back, right hand catching the orc's hair and driving it forward to stumble and trip over the monk's strongly planted foot. It pitched forward, Afafrenfir helping it along, driving its face right into the trunk of a thick oak with a sickening crunch. The first orc was on the ground by then, on its knees, grabbing at its throat and gasping for air. Afafrenfir's circle kick snapped its neck. The monk moved along, now carrying the orc spear, which he had deftly taken as the brute had dived into the tree trunk. Being human in the dark of night, he might have seemed at a disadvantage surrounded by orcs with their low-light vision. But it was not so. The monk's senses were perfectly attuned to his task, every rustle, every movement registering so clearly and distinctly, every smell wafting to him, and he knew when those scents revealed an orc. He lifted the spear beside his right ear and leveled it. He closed his eyes. He didn't need them. Indeed, they would likely distract him. He smelled the orc ahead and sensed it in ways he didn't even understand, whether it was a formerly imperceptible sound or some sixth sense screaming at him to beware. He waited, letting the signals and sounds come to him. A slight rustle, and he turned the spear tip out just a bit. He didn't throw the spear at the orc, at least not in his thoughts. He saw the spear as an extension of the target, as if it belonged there all along, and he was just allowing it to return to its rightful place. The orc sentry tumbled out of the brush up ahead. The spear threw it back to front. It struggled and whimpered, but Afafrenfir passed it as he continued on his way and stomped a heavy foot upon its throat, ending its misery. The monk glanced up at the mountain peak to his right, judging his distance from it and the one to his left, and picturing in his mind where the dragon Ilnazara had told him to go. Reflexively, he reached into his belt pouch, running his fingers over the small, smooth stone she had given him. He could feel the pulsing magic within the stone. "Look deeper," a voice inside Afafrenfir's head implored him. He clutched the stone more tightly, brought it from his pouch and up to his heart. He closed his eyes and let himself fall within the smoothness of the stone, deeper and deeper. He saw the dragon eye looking back at him, felt the approval, and knew that Ilnazara had watched him kill the orcs. Afafrenfir replaced the stone in his pouch and went on his way. Silent. Deadly. Brunner shook his head.
"Should have been Felbar," he whispered. "Ain't liking this, elf."
"Hartusk is mustering his forces around Sundabar, too near to Citadel Felbar," Sinifane explained. "Were we caught in a pitched battle there, the orcs would likely reinforce, and with greater numbers than we could possibly defeat."
"You ever been to Citadel Adbar?" Brunner asked her. "Ah, but she's a fortress to see. She's got rings of defensive pits, walls, and bridges crisscrossing all about. If them orcs are using the outer rings as their own now, we'll not get near the place."
"But we shall," Sinifane replied. "For the Haunted King is about. And now the beasts of many arrows have had enough of his raids and have laid a trap at last." "The Haunted King?" Catibri asked.
"King of Adbar," explained Amber.
Ain't been right in the head since his brother got himself killed.
These foothills are thick with orcs, Drizzt said. And as he did, he looked up to the northeast, where several campfires could be seen on the southern slope of a low mountain trail. He pointed it out to Brunner and Catti Bree, who nodded.
More than we can defeat, likely, Cynophane admitted. But with their eyes turned northward all, looking toward Adbar. My archers are in the low forests.
As is me monk, said Amber with a grin. A bit farther, I'm guessing.
Blinding the sentries, Cynophane finished.
Forevermore, Amber explained. Drizzt's hand reflexively went to Tolmeril. He wanted to be out there hunting, but they had arrived too late for that.
Reports came filtering back to the group soon after, elves sketching topographical maps of the area and indicating the location and strength of the orc positions. The most troubling report came from Muriel when she at last returned, long after midnight, to describe a position of scores of frost giants. Brunner cast an uneasy look at Cynophane at that revelation.
Felbar, he muttered. We should have gone to King Emerus.
They were not here just a few days ago, the elf replied. We had no reports of any giants about at all. Nor should they have passed this way as they went in answer to Hartusk's muster. Might be that them orcs are wanting to put down the haunted king afore they begin their march south, Amber reasoned. He's been stinging them, so 'tis said, and might that he stinged them too many times.
Cynophane looked around, clearly unsure. We come this far, Brunner put in. Ain't for letting a few giants stop us now, are we? I bringed Bungalow Thump and his Gutbuster boys along just for the party, and the party's all the better with giant knees needing to be crushed.
The world made no sense to him any longer. All had been well. Even after the death of his father, who had lived a long and prosperous and battle-filled and glory-filled life, Harnoth and Brom had been pained when putting the stones on old King Harbrum's cairn, of course, for what loyal and loving son would not? But there was a sense of rightness about that passing, a feeling that this was the inevitability of life, and the proper passing of the torch generation to generation. Now, though, the world made no sense to Harnoth. Brom had been taken from him so quickly, so unexpectedly. They were supposed to grow old together, raising their own broods and passing the torch as they each went to join their Da in the halls of Moradin. They were supposed to share decades together in battle and in leadership, leaning on each other, propping each other through the trials of ruling mighty Citadel Adbar, the armory of Lorwar. It wasn't supposed to be like this. But Brom was gone, and Harnoth could do nothing about it. He should have been there beside his brother, he thought every night since the tragedy in the Cold Vale. He should have been there to save Brom, or to die beside him. But he wasn't. And all the should-haves and might-have-beens meant nothing. Nothing. Because Brom was dead and gone. And he wasn't coming back. And the world made no sense to Harnoth, the sole king of Citadel Adbar, and made even less sense to him when the hordes had come to surround his proud fortress, and the dark elves had come to hide in the shadows of the tunnels, killing his kin, and he could do nothing. He could not bring back his brother. He could not make sense of the world. So King Harnoth, the haunted king, they now whispered, could discern only one acceptable course. He would fight. Even through the deep of winter, he went out, oftentimes alone, but sometimes, as with this expedition, surrounded by his fiercest and most fiercely loyal fellows, hunting the vermin who had slain his brother. Orethio Spikes was there beside him this time, and when he looked upon his dear friend, it occurred to Harnoth that the wild dwarf battle-rager was becoming as haunted as he. Perhaps it was the lack of food. Rations were meager indeed in Citadel Adbar, and many had succumbed. Orethio's eyes were as hollow as Harnoff's own. But it might not be the short rations, too. Orethio had been there for the Battle of the Cold Vale. Indeed, he was the only dwarf to return to Adbar from that slaughter, and he had seen King Brom's cruel death, had seen Warlord Hartusk with Brom's severed head in hand. King Harnoth glanced back at the exit channel that had led them from Citadel Adbar, and his mind's eye went farther, back to the fortress itself, to the pile of dwarf bodies, stacked in the mausoleum as neatly as firewood, awaiting the coffin masons. He looked back to the exit channel and thought back to Citadel Adbar, and thought, too, that today would be a good day to die. "Here," Mickey said, pointing to the detailed map of the region southwest of Citadel Adbar. She indicated a long valley between two mountain spurs. Sinifane glanced at the other leaders, particularly at Brunner, who shook his head doubtfully.
"They got giants," the dwarf explained. "Giants to put up in them hills on both sides, to rain stones upon hairy heads."
"It will be seen to," Mickey replied. "This is the place."
"I ain't thinking it is," said Brunner.
"Then your brothers of Adbar will die there without you," Mickey answered. Brunner and his friends, Sinifane too, fixed the copper-haired elf with angry stares. "This is the place," was all that Mickey would say to those doubting looks, ending any further arguments. "Be quick."
"I'll take the lead," Drizzt offered.
But Mickey's sister appeared then, shaking her head pointedly at the drow.
"The monk is in position," Mickey asked. "Awaiting King Harnoth and Drizzt," replied the other, who called herself Lady Z.
"Awaiting the elf?" Brunner asked.
"Come, drow," Lady Z bade Drizzt. "We have a most important task for you."
Drizzt looked to his friends, mostly to Catti Bree, who wore her suspicions clearly on her face. Mickey walked over and took Drizzt by the hand and pulled him off to the side. He instinctively tried to resist, but quickly realized that he might as well be trying to hold back an avalanche. It was easier to follow her.
"Go with my sister," Mickey explained to him privately. "She will send you to Afafrenfir's side, and he will guide you to King Harnoff."
Drizzt stared at her skeptically, not catching on.
"Ilnazar, Lady Z, will explain in more detail."
The drow's expression did not change.
"My friends and allies are here."
"This goes beyond them," Mickey explained.
"It is our mutual friend's idea, one to gauge the reputation of Drizzt O'Erden more clearly among the folk of the Silver Marches, and one, perhaps, to begin repairing that reputation."
She let go of Drizzt's hand and motioned him toward Ilnazara, but the drow still hesitated.
"Our friend is long-sighted and clever," Mickey reminded him. "Perhaps as much so as any of the lesser beings I have ever known."
"Lesser beings?" Drizzt echoed,
thinking that a rather curious and rather telling way of putting it. He thought of some of Jarlaxle's previous associates, and wondered if he might again be dealing with a mind flayer.
"Go or do not," Mickey said a bit more sharply. "But be quick in any case, because the monk cannot wait for much longer."
Drizzt nodded before he crossed over to Catti Bree, gave her a kiss for luck, and promised that he would see her soon.
"Watch over her," he said to Brunner and Athrogate. "And you watch over them," he added to Catti Bree.
He sprinted off to catch up to Ilnazara, who was moving off.
"What's that about, then?"
Brunner demanded when Mickey walked back over to join them.
"It's about positioning the pieces on the Sava board for a quicker kill," she replied and turned to Sinifane. "You know the place and the way?"
The elf nodded.
"Be quick,"
Mickey said sharply, and with that the strange elf turned and leaped away, and what a leap it was, lifting her high and far to disappear into a copse of trees some 30 strides away.
"By Moradin's hairy bum!" Brunner muttered.
"She threw a giant,"
Cynophane dryly reminded them, and off they went. In tight ranks, the warband followed, some 300 Clan Moonwood elves, supported by Brunner's 200 shield dwarves, half of them gutbusters. With speed and discipline, they churned up the field, arrows set to bowstrings, heavy hammers, axes, and swords drawn and ready. To their credit, the Adbar dwarves maintained a fairly tight defensive formation. But they were in full flight, running from a rain of giant boulders that had wounded several and left three dead. Their deaths were on him, King Harnoth knew. He shouldn't have come out this far with his 20 loyal minions. They had been baited bit by bit over the last 2 10-days. Harnoth had come out, sometimes with a small group, other times, like this day, with a powerful force, but the orcs had been falling back. Each day King Harnoth had to go a bit farther from Adbar's defensive channels to find enemies to slaughter. This day, too far, perhaps, they had rounded a mountain spur to discover a line of giants behind and above them, and the heavy rain of huge stones had driven the dwarves farther still.
"We can make Twin Pine Valley and run back to the north,"
Orethio Spikes told the young king.
"We're not for knowing what's in Twin Pine," Harnoth replied.
He settled his gaze firmly on the wild dwarf leader. Orethio Spikes had not come out often. His duties had kept him securing the lower levels of Citadel Adbar, but since few drow had been seen about those tunnels of late, he had joined his king.
"Well, I'm knowing what's behind, and it cannot be worse than what's ahead,"
Orethio Spikes replied, and Harnoth had to shrug and nod his agreement. On they ranged, sending scouts out to the left and right flanks, and word soon came back that they were being shadowed by large orc contingents. They were in for a brutal fight this day, King Harnoth knew. Too brutal. He thought of his brother and fully expected that he'd be seeing Brom again very soon, likely this very day. He had known all along that it would eventually come to this, where the orcs had seen enough of his excursions and so had set him up for the big fall. He'd killed 10 or more before he fell, he vowed to himself, and he was more than willing, more than ready to go to Dwarfholm and the Table of Moradin. Ah, but for the others. That thought nagged at him and haunted him, particularly since Orethio Spikes was along this day. Orethio, the dwarf Harnoth would choose as his successor. The young dwarf king could accept his own fate, indeed would welcome it, but to think that he was going to take 40 others with him wounded him profoundly. Taking his chosen successor with him wounded Harnoth even more. And for what? What had Citadel Adbar gained with these excursions, with these exercises in angry vengeance? Or perhaps they would make Twin Pines Valley, and so run back to the north and freedom.
"Double time," Harnoth ordered his minions. "We can outrun a few ugly orcs."
But no sooner had he issued the command than the line ahead of him skidded to an abrupt halt, dwarves in the front ranks locking shields, those in the second ranks leveling spears and crossbows.
"Square!"
King Harnoth and Orethio Spikes both ordered at the same time, and the dwarves hustled to a tighter defensive position.
"I am no enemy,"
came a call. And Harnoth took some hope as those dwarves in the front seemed to relax just a bit, a few standing taller. The young king pushed his way through the ranks to come up between a pair of shield dwarves.
"Nor am I,"
said a second voice, and Harnoth's eyes widened when he saw the speaker, a dark elf moving up beside a human.
"I am a friend to Mithril Hall, a friend to Adbar, once a friend to King Harbram," the drow said. "My name is known to you, and that name is Driz Do'Urden."
Dwarves bristled, and the spears leveled once more, and more than one stubby finger squeezed a bit tighter on a crossbow trigger.
"We seek King Harnoth," said the human beside Drizzt. "Please be quick, for your position is tenuous indeed, with enemies all about." "Adbar names no drow as friend,"
King Harnoth cried, and trusts no drow.
Then let me prove my fealty, Drizzt replied.
He came forward, hands empty and up high. The human followed him with a similar posture. They walked right to the shield line.
You are Harnoth, King of Adbar, Drizzt asked.
No, he ain't, came a rough and grumbling voice from the side, and a stocky fellow in ridged armor shouldered Harnoth aside. You're meaning to speak to Adbar, you speak to me, drow.
Well met again, Orethio Spikes, Drizzt said.
King Harnoth and all the other dwarves looked to the wild dwarf for an explanation.
We met at King Emerus's table, the drow explained, pointedly looking at King Harnoth. Introduced by King Brunner, who has returned to aid in the war with many arrows.
So I've been told, said Harnoth,
and he shouldered past the shield dwarves to stand immediately in front of the drow.
And so it is true, said Drizzt.
Now pray be quick. I have been sent to lead you to Sourpuss Gap.
He pointed to the southeast, to a valley between two peaks not far away.
Giants on Horngar's Horn,
King Harnoth said, shaking his head and indicating the mountain on the northeastern side of the indicated valley.
That is the only way, the man beside Drizzt told him. Every other trail is thick with orcs. They will slow you and catch you with forces far beyond your own.
Ere now, ye watch how you're speaking to me, king, said Orethio Spikes,
but Harnoth held his hand up to keep the wild dwarf back and silent.
All the region is thick with orcs, and even now their noose tightens about you, Drizzt explained.
I am Drizzt, friend of Brunner, as your shield dwarf Orethio Spikes can confirm. I beg that you trust in me now, and quickly, for we are running out of time.
I knowed what ye said ye was all Orethio Spikes would offer.
We're running our own way,
King Harnoth started to say, but Drizzt cut him short.
If you stay, you will perish. There are too many, and they were waiting for you. You'll not make the valley in the north if that is your plan, for surely that's the way the orcs expected your retreat.
Retreat? Orethio Spikes roared. Bah! Tactical flank!
They were waiting for you, King Harnoth, Drizzt said. Surely you knew this would happen soon enough.
Waiting because a drow elf told them we was coming?
Asked a suspicious Orethio Spikes.
Possibly, Drizzt replied, deflecting the accusation, though my friend and I have seen no other drow about.
Was speaking enough, good Orethio,
Drizzt snapped at him. I've no time, nor do you. Sourpuss Gap with all speed, or know that none of you will return to Citadel Adbar this day.
He looked to the human, and they shared a nod, and both ran off to the southeast.
We will clear the trail,
the human called back. The 40 dwarves bristled around Harnoth. He could feel their eyes upon him, seeking guidance.
That was the one at Emerus's table?
He asked Orethio Spikes.
Aye, him with the one claiming to be King Brunner.
And was it?
I be thinking aye.
Sourpuss Gap, then,
King Harnoth decided, and he sent his dwarves on a run. He looked to the east, though, as they rounded the mountain. They would be coming dangerously close once more to the ridge line full of giant stone-throwers. But still they ran, and with all speed, down the trails through stands of pine and boulder tumbles. They made the entrance to Sourpuss Gap easily enough, and there found Drizzt and the human waiting for them, and there found, too, a legion of orcs coming the other way.
Ah, but ye traitorous dog!
Orethio Spikes started to say to Drizzt, started, but didn't finish, for in the middle of his rant, the drow put up a bow and let fly a lightning arrow down into the gap, blowing down a pair of orcs with that single shot.
Form here,
the human ordered.
Tight square.
King Harnoth wasn't sure of what he should do. He noted a peculiar smoke beside the drow and fell back yelping in surprise as that smoke became a corporeal form. A giant black panther who leaped away immediately toward the advancing orc line.
More behind!
Came a cry from the rear of the dwarven formation.
Those are yours, Drizzt told King Harnoth. Strengthen the back of the square.
A giant boulder crashed down through some nearby trees, snapping branches. A second followed, this time missing the copse and bouncing down nearer to the dwarven position.
Hi, ye dog! What did ye do to me and me boys? King Harnoth yelled at Drizzt.
On came the orcs, a huge force roaring up the pass. On came those from behind, who had pursued the dwarves all this way.
Over on the ridgeline of Horngar's Horn, several boulders went flying into the dark sky.
We're fully catched, me king!
Orethio Spikes cried. Boulders crashed all around, only good fortune keeping any from flattening a dwarf or two. With a growl, King Harnoth pushed out through his shield dwarves, moving for Drizzt with his weapon in hand.
The drow just kept up a stream of arrows at the charging orc force, though, and just before Harnoth reached him, a cry rose up from several dwarves indicating the giant's position.
Harnoth glanced that way and understood their confusion, for up on the ridge of Horngar's Horn, something was going on. Something powerful. Trees shuddered and shook as if in a hurricane. No boulders came forth, though many giant roars and shrieks, of pain and terror they seemed, surely did.
Just kill the damned orcs,
King Harnoth cried, shaking his head. He had no idea what might be happening, and had no time to sit and figure it out.
The orcs from the rear, Drizzt ordered him. Focus on those behind.
He turned to the human and said,
Afafrenfir, go.
The man leaped away, rushing around the dwarven defensive square to help greet the pursuing orc force.
More in front,
King Harnoth yelled to Drizzt, and indeed, that seemed quite true. The charging horde looked like it would overrun Harnoth's position. But orcs in the front ranks began to falter and stumble suddenly, tumbling down to the ground and slowing the charge. It took Harnoth a few blinking moments to realize that those front ranks were under a barrage of arrows, unrelenting and deadly. And then came cries from unseen orcs far back in the ranks, and Harnoth realized that battle had been joined in full with this group coming out of Sourpuss Gap, that the ambushers had in turn been ambushed. A massive fireball erupted in the midst of the orc line, and from it stepped a giant made of fire, swatting and burning all the monsters nearby.
King Brunner has arrived, Drizzt whispered to him, with friends. Pray hold the line, King Harnoth.
Breathless, King Harnoth scrambled back through his square and urged his dwarves on, and they did indeed hold the line, focusing all their power on the pursuing orc force. No more boulders came at them from the ridge on Horngar's Horn, nor did any of the orcs coming out of Sourpuss Gap even reach their position. Through it all, Drizzt calmly stood there, guarding the back of Harnoth's turned square, Tolmaril the Heartseeker in hand, a line of devastating arrows reaching out to destroy any who ventured too near. And the elven rain continued as well, with Cynophane's hundreds of archers showering the orcs with death. Somewhere out among that group, Gwynevar roared, and Drizzt nodded, confident that another foul orc had met its death. He heard a sour note from a cracked silver horn, and knew that the spirit of Thibeldorf Puent too had joined the fray.
Elven rain and dwarven mud,
Orethio Spikes said, coming up to Drizzt as the battle neared its end. Drizzt looked at the wild dwarf and couldn't help but smile, grimly, for Orethio Spikes was covered in mud and blood, some of the latter likely his own.
Sorry for doubting ye, elf, the wild dwarf said. But sure, and it's been a long and tough winter, eh?
Indeed, said Drizzt. But the spring will be brighter.
Orethio Spikes clapped him on the shoulder and turned back, but remained as King Harnoth came up to join them. Tears streaked the young dwarf's face, and he looked to Drizzt, unable to speak, but clearly nodding his approval. Few orcs remained, and the force approaching from Sourpuss Gap was one of allies, led by a red-bearded dwarf with a one-horned helm, banging a many-notched axe upon a shield set with the foaming mug standard of Clan Battlehammer.
"We think ye might be needing a bit of help,"
Brunner said to Harnoth, and the two shared a great hug.
"Aye, and more's to come,"
said a black-bearded dwarf standing behind the former king of Mithril Hall. He spun a pair of glass-steel morning stars.
And more to murder, to put things aright and back in their order.
Before Athrogate could offer his signature belly laugh to punctuate his bad rhyme, Amber Gristle O'Mall of the Adbar O'Malls gave one for him.
Bruno looked Harnoth in the eye. "We'll break your siege, then on to Felbar," he explained. "Our friend Emerus is sure to be waiting."
"I'm owing your friend an apology," Harnoth replied, and he glanced over at Drizzt, who stood with a young, auburn-haired woman in a most remarkable blouse, and with blue tendrils of some magic Harnoth did not understand curling around her bare forearms.
"For Shorin was I doubting him."
"He knows," Brunner assured the young king.
"Ye need not say it. That one, he knows better than any."